We had a planned wedding this morning. We planned it. And then these two guys who came, they didn't know they were going to get married this morning, but they did. So I'm putting my faith out for the same this evening. So this is why we have this table here. We're allowing the Holy Spirit to show us which two people here are ready for marriage. And then we go, hello. Then we're going to get them to be married today. So are you excited? Amen. Ek maak net 'n grappie. This morning I preached on marriages that are not doing well, on marriages, people who are married. And I said that marriages are really under attack. And this evening I called my sermon God is a Matchmaker. It was the first book I ever read on marriages. It was written by Derek Prince. And when Lynette and I got engaged, Tani Twakkies gave it to me and Lynette to read. I read it. Het jy het ook gelees? Sy het ook gelees. And I can nog die streepies sien daar, so it was nice to just look at what he said. But I just named it after what he was saying, because I think it's quite profound worth that. And we are being influenced by the world to look at marriages differently than what I believe God wants us to do. And when we prayed this morning, I just felt God saying to you, we must go back to the ancient past. How is it that God intended marriage to be, and not to look at what it is like at the moment? Because, you know, when there's a bachelor's coming up this weekend, and, you know, when we go to bachelor's, we do and say silly things. Huh? Carl? And afterwards, we just don't tell anyone with what we've done on this bachelor's. And you know, I saw a clip of a guy. They told him he was going to bungee jump, and they blindfolded him and they took him to a pool and they put all the bungee jump stuff on him, but he couldn't see where he was, and he's begging them, "I just want to see before I jump." And they would laugh because he was standing in front of a pool. And the guys came behind him, say, 3, 2, 1, jump. And he fell into the water. And, you know, it's just, we do things like that, you know. And but when I look at that, I actually just realize we sort of cursing our marriage by these things that we do before the time that we think is fun, but we actually put a curse on our marriage to come. And we do that, you know. We in the best man speeches and the master of ceremonies says things, and we release words over people in their marriages, and they struggle later on, and they don't know where it came from. But I believe it's because of the things they say, because we tell people stories like there's four types of rings when you get married. Did you know that, Brad? It's the engagement ring and the wedding ring. Then it's the suffering, and then it's the enduring. Or we say that marriage is not a word, it's a sentence. It's a life sentence. It's true that all men are born equal, and then some get married. And the married men laugh. But you know, this is not what God intended it to be. I really believe God wants us to live lives dedicated as unto the Lord. And He's given us marriage that we can understand how we should have relationship with Him. And, you know, these days, I shared this morning, the Barna Institute's showing us that Christians in America get divorced the same rate as people who are not Christians, 33%. The Roman Catholics, they get it quite right. They have only 28% at the divorce rate. And I think what happens is, and I just want to say to you today that I think what I'm going to share is maybe going to open up wounds. And it's not my heart to do this. I really don't want you to get hurt. But I think many of you maybe come from homes who have been divorced, or in your house, the marriage wasn't good. And you were brought up in a home that the example that was given to you was not that great. And now you don't want to get married. and you withdraw yourself because of hurt that has happened to you when you were small. And I think if you are not ready, then that's fine. I think that is, I don't want to pressure you, but I really believe that God wants us to show us what He intends marriage to be, because there's something beautiful about a man and a woman that comes together. But there's also massive attack, because I shared it this morning, but you know, the heterosexual people want to live together, and they will give you all the 1,000 reasons why they must live together, and the gay people want to get married. It gets so twisted. I really believe we are called as husbands and wives who are believers to be examples to the world out there of what Jesus came to do for the church. Now, I want to show you a video clip. I'm just going to show you the clip. I'm not going to explain it. Christina.
The day after the wedding, we came back from the hotel to visit my parents' house because everyone was still there. And so we all got our videographer on speakerphone and, you know, we're like, hey, Larry, can you put this clip online?
That was so funny. Put that on YouTube, you know. And you'll put the other one on, because there's a lot of funny parts in the wedding, right?
I, Andrew Paul Daniel Engstrom.
I, Andrew Paul Daniel Engstrom.
Do take Melissa Renee Warren.
Do take Melissa Renee Warren.
To be my lawfully wedded wife.
To be my lawfully. And pancakey. I've been scared of this all my life.
He did, and we're thinking, oh, it'll get 1,000 hits or something like that. It'll just be for our friends.
And then several, 3 days ago, it was on MSN, the homepage. And, you know, it started out, and somebody's like, you're on MSN. You know,
we
all
have
our friends
no
are
idea how
us.
They got the video.
It started out, you know, I don't know how many thousand till we got to it. When we got to it, it was 500,000.
And then by the end of the evening, it was 750,000 people had watched our wedding video.
Just give her a second.
How we met?
We met at SPU. We were both students at Seattle Pacific University.
I was really interested in Melissa Warren, but I knew that Melissa Warren didn't want to be pursued. She was guarding her heart really hard, and she was very close to the Lord. And so I wanted to play it right, however I did. But I wanted to guard my heart. You know, whoever my wife was very special. We had actually never hung out until the story really started.
And Andrew started writing me. At age 8, Andrew started wishing for his wife.
Yeah.
And so I've never met somebody, especially a young man, who's been so passionate about finding his wife and being ready for her. And he started writing me when he was 16. He gave me a journal last year, and it started actually right after he broke up with his first girlfriend. And it was kind of helping him process through it, but it was also he wanted to start writing to his wife. So I get this letter.
When you're young, you have a long time to wait for your partner, and I missed her. And you can fill that in with another girl or something else, or I tried to fill it in with, you know, writing her like she wasn't there for years and years and years.
In terms of sexuality, that was part of why I didn't date, was because I knew I'm very sexual, and if I were to get into the wrong relationship, I would get messed up.
It's really hard not to.
It's so hard, and I knew it.
I know it.
And that was a struggle for us at the beginning of a relationship. And so we set really stringent boundaries on ourselves. Yeah. And it was really hard at first.
I thought it was going to be, you know, just horrific. Laborious minutes of the rest of our engagement.
It ended up being such a gift to us. And
it was like the farther we stepped back, almost the easier it got. But the more worth it got.
The farther we stepped back sexually from each other.
Such a confidence that this is right. And we could spend more time with each other, you know, actually talking.
And it meant for us that when that gift of sexuality came within the context of our marriage, it was never... would have been there had we gone too far. I remember saying that night and then the morning after, it was like, I have never given myself to anyone sexually. And now I've given this to you, and this consummation of two virgins coming together it was like, oh, okay, now I have this surety that I am yours and you are mine forever. And that consummation of a pure marriage was such a gift. And I had no concept of it before the actual day happened. And I couldn't kind of get it into my soul that I was married now until the final, that night when it was like, okay, this is real and this is you and I. And I wept at the thought of that, myself having given that to somebody else potentially and not having that surety that came with just being one another.
I mean, isn't that amazing? And I think really this is God's heart for us to be like that when we get married, is to be two virgins that comes together. And this morning I shared, I didn't really prepare it for tonight, but just the thing about covenant, that God is a covenant-keeping God, that when He brings people together, or when He makes relationship with someone, He makes covenant. And in the Old Testament, when a covenant was cut, they literally cut you open. And the word for covenant, berit, in Hebrew, means to cut. And when we become blood brothers and we shake hands, that mixing of blood that happens. And you can see that I would give what is mine, I would give to my wife, what is, and I would protect her. And there's the cut that comes in, there's a ring that is exchanged, and she takes my name, and all of that is done in covenant. And with the new covenant, Jesus comes and do the same, and He says, I'm giving you a new identity. We become new in Christ. And He says, I give you a new ring or a sign, it's the Holy Spirit. And when we pray, Dupis just said, you know, it's like with Leandri, she wants to show everyone a ring, but we as Christians don't want to show our ring, the Holy Spirit, to the world almost. And that was just such a sign to me as well of where we are at. But God is a covenant-keeping God, and covenant is forever. So there's not, and this is in Malachi when He says God hates divorce, because covenant is forever, it's irrevocable. And when there's divorce, violence comes. And I believe there's so much violence in this world because of the high divorce rate and the struggles in married couples as well. There's tension in married couples, and therefore the children are frustrated and angry because there's anger and frustration and depression in the home. And I really believe God wants us to walk outside of that as He intended it to be. You know, there are three choices that a man and a woman will have to make one day. The first one is your savior. The second one is your career and your partner, who you're going to get married to. And I believe if you have God as your savior, you should ask Him for the other two. God, who do you want me to get married to? And what career do you want me to follow? And I think this is where we get it wrong, because we allow the world to influence our decisions. We take decisions because she looks nice, or she does whatever it might be, or I might all make money in this area, and we are influenced by what the world says, and we're not listening to what God wants us to become. Now, the next scripture that I want to, the first scripture in 1 Corinthians 7 verse 38, Paul says this, that he who marries does do well, but he refrains from marriage will do even better. And this is one scripture, and I believe there are many people who are married who do not want to get married because they've been hurt in the past, and then they sort of use this scripture as a means to, like, say, I'm fine, I can cope with this. And what I want to show you, and I really don't want to bring condemnation, I really want us to trust God for healing. And you know, the last while God has been speaking to me about rejection, and then we spoke about forgiveness, a total forgiveness, to live in complete forgiveness, to really allow God to do a healing in us, that we can really walk into the promises of what God has called us. But there are people who are called like that. I don't think many people, but there are people who are not called to be married. But if there's a desire in your heart, to get married. I think it's good. I believe God has placed it in our hearts to get married. So why would a person want to get married? Ecclesiastes 4 verse 9 says, two are better than one because they have a good reward. If the one fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. So two are better than one. The scripture that I'm going to share with you later on is, if two agree on anything, it will be given to them. And I believe when I shared this morning as well, what I shared with the Bible school guys, if I have something against Kurt, I'm upset with him, and I go to him and I say, Kurt, will you just stand in agreement with me? I want to pray for my Mercedes-Benz. Is that a prayer of agreement? Because my heart is not there. And this is where I'm sensing that we're not seeing breakthrough in the prayers' lives. And I showed them in this morning in 1 Peter as well, that men honor your wives as the weaker vessel. And then at the end it says that your prayers may be answered. And I believe many prayers are not being answered because the friction that is in home, the underlying anger or division that we have in our hearts to people around us, maybe in church, but it starts, I believe, in our homes. And we don't want to allow God to deal with us to get that healing so that we can walk into the place that God has called us for. And, you know, we many times say, yes, but God must be in our marriages. But do we really invite God to be part of our marriage, to be part of our home? And, you know, for you who are single here, we all say, ons gaan nooit beklei nie. We will not do that. That's definitely not going to be like, we will be great. And then your child comes, and then you don't sleep, and then the shots come, because you've slept like 2 hours, and you go, when I was still in medic clinic, I would go into the toilet, and I would just put my head on the toilet roll, just for 2 minutes, and I can just close my eyes, because I'm so tired. One time I booked a meeting room, I locked it from the inside, and I went to go and sleep underneath the table, because I was just so tired. Then it's very easy to say, nee, ons sal nooit beklei nie, because you are both tired, and it will happen. And for you guys who are single, you see people fight and you think, no, I don't want to get married. Look at how married people act. That's not definitely not for me. But Proverbs 18 verse 22 says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Guys, amen. He who find a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Do you want to have favor from God? Proverbs 31 verse 10 says, an excellent wife who can find, she is far more precious than jewels. Jesus, when the Pharisees came to him, they wanted to catch him. They wanted to court him out. They wanted to put him into a box. And they said to him, is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause? And Jesus said to them, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother. I got it wrong this morning, so I'm really trusting God that it will not happen tonight. And hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. I believe this is the key to a happy marriage, to a happy relationship as well. One flesh. I'll get back to that now. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. I believe what Jesus is saying, this is the heart, this is what marriage is all about. What God puts together, let no man separate. It's not me and Lynette anymore. It's us. We become one. It's not the things that she can do in her life and what's important to her and what is important to me, the golf or the surf ski or whatever. It's what is good for us. And I make decisions and she must make decisions that will be good for us. I must not make decisions that will be good for her. I must make decisions that will be good for us. Because he can say, yes, sir, ek wil gaan drink vanaand. And I go, ja, liefie, jy het nodig. It will not be good for us. So I would make decisions. We will make decisions that is good for us. Because this is not me and her anymore. It become us. God is one God. He consists out of three people. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But He's one God. And so in our marriage, we are one. So everything I do is so that it will bless us and it will be good for us. And not for me or for her anymore. And then they said, but why did Moses command one to give a certificate of divorce and to send her away? And then Jesus said, because of the hardness of your heart, Moses allowed you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. So what I want to just share here is because of the hardness of our hearts. That's why marriages fall apart and people get broken because we identify, and I'm going to show you later on as well, that we identify our relationship with God through how our parents acted to us. The marriage is instituted to be an example to us of how God wants to have a relationship with us. So if we get disappointed by our parents, by our father or mother, we do not have an understanding of the unconditional love that God has for us. I said this morning as well, I've done some counseling in my life now, and every time, most times, it's all to do with a father wound or a mother wound, where people are broken because of something that their father's done and they can't forgive them, they can't work through it, or maybe what their mothers have done. They feel neglected for some reason, and this thing is harassing them and going against them. And this is why I believe that godly marriages is so important for this world, that people can see how God loves us. When I shared this morning as well, when Daniel was born, the first time I really understood unconditional love. You know, if he wheezes in your face, it's like, oh, look how cute is that. You know, there's nothing that he can do that will upset you. Now he can, but I forgive him after I've given him a hiding. But just the discipline of the Lord, and then he's straight again. But there's the love that you have for your children. You understand now, I understand the love that God has for me, unconditional love. That doesn't matter where I've been, what I've done, God will always have a heart for you. He will always open it up for you. And this is the heart, and this is why I believe God has given us family, that we can understand that aspect of the Lord. So for us, guard your heart. Guard your heart and allow yourself, allow God to heal your heart, that we can be whole people, that we don't get hurt and offended and all these things, but we walk in total forgiveness, total love of what God has for us. So Jesus said we must look at the beginning. So let's look at the beginning. Genesis 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the earth. And God said, let it be light. And there was light. And just God just spoke the words, and the creation came to be. All the different things that God has made. In verse 25-26, he says, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. We are made in the image and the likeness of God. Isn't that amazing? If you want to know what God looks like, just look to the person next to you. Please do. There's an aspect of God in that person. That's how amazing you are. Matt, you are made in the image of God. And Neil and Marius and Inka, no pressure guys, you are made in the image of God. And you know, this is where I'm just believing we must really trust God to understand His love for us, the goodness of God, because we are made in the image of God. God's heart is for us. It's to bless us because He has made us in His image. And listen, He says, let us make God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish and all the things. God has called us to have dominion. To have dominion on this earth, to have authority, to walk in the authority of what God has called us to be. So, you know, there's, we are called to be overcomers. We are called to be victors. We are called to be the head and not the tail. But not in our own strength, in who God is. This is really what I believe, but we believe so many bad things about ourselves. We believe that God loves us, but He doesn't like me that much. And I believe God is wanting to change that perception of what we have of ourselves, that we can walk into the fullness, that we have to believe that God wants to do great, mighty things through us. And you know, the whole thing that I'm also seeing as well is, we many times come to God and say, God, use me, use me. And it would be terrible for me, ek weet nie, Ati, jy gaan miskien saamstem, if Lynette comes to me, if I find out that she wanted to marry me because she wanted my children. Huh? Dit sou mos nie lekker wees, hè? I want you to marry me because she wants to be with me, not because she wants something from me. And I think this is in our relationship with God as well, that we want to be with God because He's God and not because we want to be used by Him. And this is where I'm also seeing there's something in our minds and our attitude towards God that needs to change. We must seek God for God and not because we want to be used by God through all these massive things. And then verse 28, he says, God blessed them. God blessed the people. And this is from the beginning. Look at that. God blessed them. His heart is to bless us. And he said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And to have dominion over the world. That is God's heart. To give us, for us to be fruitful, to multiply, to fill the earth, to subdue it. Where you work, on our families, to have children. I really believe this is God's will for our lives. Then verse 31, God saw that everything He made, saw that everything He had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was a morning, it was the sixth day. It was very good. We are made in the image of God, and God says, it's very good. Every time He said it was good, now God says, it is very good. You know, for me, my testimony when I met Lynette, I gave my heart to the Lord in Gordon's Bay, and I was not baptized yet. I didn't know Christians. I knew one or two. And the ones that I knew, I just felt they weren't standing up as men. And it frustrated me a little bit because all the guys I knew were like really, I don't want to say tough guys, but yeah, I don't know. How can I call my friends? They were really rough and tough guys. But I really loved Jesus. When I gave my heart to the Lord that one night, it was just the love of God that came over me, and I was so drawn to Him, but the world was pulling me apart. I was so drawn to the world as well. And then this one weekend, there was a wedding at Ganse Kraal, and the person that was meant to go with me dropped me at number 99. And I went there by myself. In the morning, I went diving, and then I went surf skiing, and it was an amazing morning. It was beautiful waves, and I just felt amazing. And I came out of the water, and I opened a beer. This was about 11 o'clock in the morning. And about 1 o'clock, I said, guys, I'll see you when you guys come back. I'm going to enjoy my beers, and I'm going to enjoy the view. And my one friend's sister still forced me to come into the car. And the dominee was preaching on this, and he said to Leonard, he said, Leonard, you were a bachelor, and God wasn't happy with you. And then He gave you a wife, and now He's very happy with you. And I thought to myself, yes, it shook me. And I said to them, as we were driving back to the reception at Ganse Kraal, I said, why do I struggle to find the right girl if God doesn't like a bachelor? And my friend, Hendrik, said to me, focus, oh, focus, you're not ready for it. And it was like cold water in my face. And that night, we're sitting there, and the guys are drinking tequilas, and they call me, come drink a tequila, and I down it, and it's like, it doesn't do anything to me. I just sit there, it's like, and it's like everything changed for me. And then that next morning, there was a man that I ran comrades with, an older man, and he had told me that he had prayed for his wife, and God provided him this godly wife. And I thought, he comes here for a vrouw bidding, this was zonde, what was he did to me? Anyway, that morning I was down and out, and I really knew I didn't want to live this lifestyle anymore, so I prayed. And I said, God, here, help. And I don't want to live this lifestyle anymore. I ask you to show me my wife, and then I will serve you with everything that I have. Don't pray those prayers if you're not serious. And then that was the Sunday, the Tuesday night I did this course at the Dutch Reformed Church. So I was living this lifestyle, 007 lifestyle. And while I was speaking to a guy, he was telling me about the Holy Spirit. I heard the voice saying to me, "This is saying him, I say, come." It's not her, but she's coming. And then I asked this guy, "Did you hear this?" And he looked at me, didn't understand what I was saying, but I heard it like, I hear your voice now. That's how I heard it. And then that Thursday, I was in the gym and I saw Lynette, and I just knew. I saw this girl and I aligned myself that I could see her. And then I saw her looking at me, and I saw this other girl coming in, and she walked right to her. She talked to her, and then she came to me, and I said, "I want to meet that girl." She says, "Yeah, she's got a boyfriend." So I don't care, I just want to meet her. And then she caused us to come together. And later on, I saw Lynette looking at me, and I looked at her, and I knew. It just in my spirit, I knew I'm going to get married to her. And I said to Herman and his girlfriend, then it's his wife now, she said, "I'm Macy." I said, "Yeah, yes, we've been cut." Anyway, I knew, but Lynette went home, and she said to her mom, "Mom, I saw the man I'm going to get married to." 2 weeks before that, she was in a small group, and people asked her, "Can I ask you a bit?" "Yeah, okay." Eventually, "Okay, I'm in this terrible relationship. I want to meet a godly man." I wasn't a godly man, but I knew God knew what was going to happen in our past, in our future. Now, for many of you, you don't want to live that lifestyle that I had, because I had to fight many battles because of my lifestyle. Rather become what God wants you to be now already, that you don't take that into your marriage. You want to be pure when you go into your marriage, like that couple was, because you're going to fight battles in your marriage. And whatever you do in the world, you're going to bring that into your marriage, and it's going to be tough. Because you're going to fight those fights. And you want to be pure and holy when you meet your wife. Because there is a battle to get you to be separated. So, Genesis 2, now talks about man and wife again. Genesis 2 verse 15, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it." So God decides where he must work. He takes him and he puts him in the Garden of Eden, and there he's got to work and he's got to keep it. God knew where Adam had to work. And this is where I believe we must ask God, we must pray and allow God to put us there where he wants us to be. And there's six things that I'm seeing from the scripture that I really think is quite profound. Verse 18, "So we'll make him a helper fit for him." So God knew what kind of helper the man needed. The man did not. It was God who decided who the helper must be. It wasn't man. That's very interesting for me, because we want to see who we think will suit us. You know, I hear that people who have planned weddings like in India and that, those marriages last longer because the parents know us better than what we do. We think our parents doesn't know, but our parents do. And this is also why I believe our parents must give us a blessing on our marriage because they know us better than what we do. We see some things so one-sided. Then the second verse, verse 20, says, "The man gave names to all the livestock and the birds of the heavens and to every beast in the field, but for Adam there was not found a helper fit for him." So God decided who Adam had to marry. So we must trust God to prepare the bride and to lead the man to the bride, as God has done it for Adam and for Eve. Verse 21 says, "The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. While he slept, he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with his flesh." So God is preparing the woman for the man. God is also preparing the church for the return of Christ. And this is what I really believe is important to understand, that as we are being prepared as the body of Christ, we as men must know and trust and pray that God will be preparing our wives as well. Rolf married Sonia, and Sonia was an orphan. And Rolf's mom has been praying for his wife since he was a little boy. And she says that those prayers carried her through times when things could have been really tough for her. That God protected her because her mother-in-law was praying for her, because God already knew who she was going to get married to. So there's a blessing in praying for the person that we are going to get married to. Then verse 22 says, "And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he had made into a woman, and he brought her to the man." So God presented the woman to the man. It was not the man that went to go and search for her, but God brought her to him. In the spirit. This is in the spirit that you must remember that. Then verse 23 and 24 says, "And then the man said, 'This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh.'" And there it is. That's what God wants us. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. We become one, one flesh forever to be together. I believe this is the key that God has given us to become one in unity. And this is for all of us, that as the body of Christ as well, God wants unity. We become one. But it starts in our homes. So God initiates the marriage. And then it says, "And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. The glory of the Lord was upon them." But there's also this thing of symphony, of something beautiful. There's no shame because there were no other partners. And, you know, I'm not going to do this, but... Yeah, I'm not going to do it. If you... I'm not going to do it. Yes, I'll not. Can you not come stand as a brief? Let's say Lynette and I are going to get married. We are now married. And she knew two other guys. Can ek gou vir julle twee embarrass? Julle twee. Dan staan ge agter haar. En dan die doopies en julle, jy, kom staan ge agter. Agter. Nee, jy moet agter. Nee, jy moet kom. Kom staan jy ook so mee. Kom staan. And then just behind them, maybe just two girls quickly. Any two? And behind them, two guys. Just get the picture quickly. When we get married, look what we bring into our marriage if we were not faithful, when we not waited for God, when we were not waiting, we were not pure. We bring all of this into our marriage. And this is why we're taking so much strain, because of all this baggage that we bring into our marriage. And now we struggle and we cry and we moan because of all the stuff that we've brought. And this is what the world wants. Every movie that you'll see would want you to do this. But you bring all of that into your marriage and it's not pure anymore. And you take strain and you don't understand where it's coming from. But you have allowed it to come into your marriage. And this is why God wants us to be pure, because He doesn't want us to take all this. Thank you, Jelle. And this is why we come and do F4, and we have to cut all of these things from us, because God wants a symphony. When we come together, He wants us to be in perfect unity. Matthew 18 verse 19 says, "If two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven." This is why marriage, I believe, is such a powerful, powerful instrument of God. Because if two agree on anything, it's not when 10 agree, it's when two agree. And this is why I believe God wants us to become one, that we can call in the purposes of God in the name of Jesus. If two of you agree on earth about anything, I think there's nothing more powerful than a husband and a wife that prays together. And this whole thing of a family that prays together stays together. But if we can come in and say, "God, the Bible says, ask me the nations and I'll give you the ends of the earth as your inheritance." We are called to do this. We are called to have dominion on this earth. We can call it in because that's what the word says. Anything they ask, it will be done for them. Anything they ask. Of a beautiful symphony that comes together. So for me, what I'm starting to understand, Ephesians 5 verse 32, that marriage is a mystery, and this mystery is profound, and that's what I called my sermon this morning, "This Mystery is Profound," and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. God has instituted marriage that we can understand relationship to Him, that we, husband represents Jesus, we love our wives, we lay down our lives to our wives. Our wives submit to us as husbands, as unto the Lord. Our children see that and they get brought up in that, and they understand submission and obedience to God because we as father and mother acted it out to them, but we walk by faith. And also what I'm just seeing is, for me and Lynette, we, you know, we get frustrated with one another. She's very detailed. I'm very focused out there. I'm a palm tree. I want to make people laugh. She wants to get all the work done. So she's very detailed, and I don't care about the detail. Now we fight because of this, because I'm not helping her. Now, the more I'm trying to do all these things, the more she gets frustrated with me. The more I get like, I cannot do anything well enough. What I'm starting to see is our relationship with the Lord as well. We try to do all these things for God, but He doesn't want us to do things for us. He wants relationship. And the same with me and Lynette. Our relationship will only work if there's relationship, not if we do the stuff for one another. Relationship is what God is after. It's relationship that will heal marriages. It's relationship that brings us together. We are saved by grace. You've been saved through faith. It's not your own doing. It's a gift of God, not a result of works that you can boast. It's the workmanship of God. And this is what I believe is the key. It's faith. It's faith, that we must walk by faith. James 2 says that, "Show also faith by itself, and it does not have work. And if it does not have works, it is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.'" And this is maybe for the men as well. If you have an inclination that this person might be from the Lord, you will have to act on it. And knowing that we walk by faith and not by sight, knowing that you might get, that you might miss it. Because we all miss and fall short of the glory of God. You might get disappointed, but not to fall. Stand up and say, "God, did I miss it? Maybe your timing was out," whatever the case might be. Please, guys, don't tell a girl God said. Don't do that. I don't ever want to hear anyone saying, "God said," unless He audibly spoke to you and I heard it as well. Because we do so much destruction by saying, "God said," and then 10 different people saying, "God said," and it's all different. I really believe that is we're hurting one another by doing that. Romans 1 verse 17 says, "For it is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. For it's written, 'The righteous shall live by faith.'" And why I'm saying it, I believe we should walk by faith for our partner. That we must walk in faith and believe God that He will show us who the person might be, and that He will bring us together. And that we will not doubt in the goodness of God, but we will believe it because God wants to bless us. My advice, first become the godly partner. Before you want to get your partner, first become the godly partner. Romans 12 verse 1 says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Number one, a living sacrifice. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Being a sacrifice to the Lord, and allow God to renew your mind. To renew your mind of all the patterns that's been set over years, that your mind become godly, that your focus is godly, that just you have a godly focus on who you want to become, so that we are not dictated by the world, but we are dictated by the world, and this is who we want to be. So yes, 8 things that I believe is good for us to prepare yourself. The first one is obedience to God. Become obedient to the Lord. The second one is fellowship with Christians. Have fellowship with Christians. Third one is be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Develop your relationship with God, that you can hear what God's heart, what God's will is for your life. Number four, I heard a testimony of Cy Rogers. Cy Rogers was a gay man, and he was dressed up as a woman when he entered a church. And he came to sit next to this woman who was, she had a past as a drug addict, but she was an intercessor and a prophet. And when he came to sit next to her, God spoke to her and said, this is your husband. She got married to him because he changed completely, He's got a ministry where he leads men. And he said God completely healed him of everything. The only thing that he still had was his voice. And he says whenever he walks and men from that says he's one of us, then he starts speaking. But God had already known who her husband was going to be because he had called them for times such as this. The fourth one is guard your heart. Don't be touchy. Don't be sensitive. Don't be self-centered. This morning, many words came like that. We are very touchy. We are very self-focused. Me, I, and myself. Allow God to transform our minds that we can focus on God and the kingdom, on God's people, and not so much on what is good for me. The fifth one is be prepared to wait on the Lord. Be prepared to wait on the Lord. Six is be prepared to die and be resurrected in Christ. And this is the most difficult one for all of us as Christians. We want to do our own thing. But God says you must die for your own desires, that you must live in me. The seventh one is seek a blessing from your parents. Honor your parents. And when you look for that person, that your parents, trust God that your parents want, will bless that person, that they will accept that person. I really believe that's very important. And then the last one is diligently seek the Lord, to walk in faith and not by sight, seeking God. So I want to finish with this last scripture. Trust in the Lord. Trust God that He knows who your partner is going to be. Trust God that He knows where you must go and work. Trust God that He will show you where you must live. But most important, that He knows who your partner must be. Trust Him and ask Him. Donnie, that you share the scripture in, was it this one that you shared, or was it Proverbs 3? Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will act. God will act. Can I just ask the ushers to hand out the communion, please? For me, this is, and I've many times given the wrong advice. I've said to people, yes, but you must go out there. And I think we must be careful that we guard our hearts as believers. And what I'm seeing is there's many people who are awesome people who are still single. And some of you, that's probably fine, but there's some of us that I really believe we must trust God to break this thing over us, because there's a blessing in being married. I really believe God had gone in the past I believe God can restore any person, any relationship, to take you from where you were, where your marriage is maybe. God can transform any relationship. God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He can change anything. And I believe we must trust God to turn our relationships around, that we can represent Jesus to this earth. Thank you, Lee. So, you know, when Brad and Kanakelecha became embarrassed, when he came to, he was always a, I thought he was like sort of cold, you know, and he just said, Theo, I know that I'm trusting God. He will show me the right person. And there was one day where I just, I came to him and I pushed him into this room there at our office. I think it was an encounter or something, and I prayed over him. And when I started praying, I thought, oh my God, what am I saying over this man? But I was prophesying his wife over him. And they shared with me later on, that's the weekend when Leandri got saved. Isn't that amazing? So there's a place of faith that we must believe that God is in control, because at that moment it had to be spoken into being. And thank God I was just obedient to that at that stage. Now when I look back at it, it's like almost, imagine I had missed it, you know. I don't even want to go there. But I believe it's for all of us. It's for all of us. All of us are called to live by faith, to walk by faith, and that we must trust God for that. And do trust God to do the healing in our heart as well. And you know, the other thing is that what I've heard is that couples who write letters to one another, their marriages seem to last longer than people who met and on a sexual level first. And if you explain it from the Bible, if your soul connects, the chances are better that you will get to stay married longer than someone whose body commits, because you know you consist out of body, soul and spirit. But for us as believers, we want our spirits to connect first. If the spirit connect, the soul will follow, and then when you are married, the body will follow. And that covenant that is cut then when husband and wife comes together for the first time will make sure that you stay together forever. When a man and a woman comes together for the first time, they say you can't get that person out of your mind. You want that person to be your wife, that you will always think of your own wife. You will never want to be unfaithful, because that woman was your own wife. And I believe this is why God has called us to be together like that. And the other thing is, God says Adam knew Eve. The word is Yada. Danin Dupi's daughter's name is Yada. It means to know. It's to intimately know God. But it says Adam, Yada, Eve, and they had children. God wants us to intimately know Him. And I believe when a husband and a wife comes together, it says they yardad. But then when they were not married, they lay together. Because there's not a blessing on that. The difference is covenant. God wants us to walk in covenant, because He's a covenant-keeping God. And this is for us, maybe some of you have made many mistakes like I have done. But I really must believe we must trust God to restore all of that. So I just want to pray with us as we take communion that God will restore us and families, and that God will give us examples that we can give to the world, that we can have testimonies onto this world. So I just want to pray for us. Now, Father, we just want to come before You, Lord, and God, many of us have been hurt, Lord. We've been hurt by girlfriends and boyfriends, Lord, and we've been rejected, Lord God, and our hearts have been hardened over years, Lord, and many of us are afraid, Lord, to get involved. God, many of us have parents who did not love one another, Lord, and did not commit their lives to one another, Lord God, and they've become cynical over years, and there was tension in the home. And yes, Lord, our hearts have been broken, Lord God. But Lord, seeing what you have called us to be, Lord, I really trust that you will do a work in us, Lord. I pray for your Holy Spirit to come and heal us, Lord. And God, I pray that you will break this curse, Lord, over some people, Lord, of believing that they will, the right person is not there for them, Lord. Of that disappointment, Lord God. And God, I pray that we all will come to a place where we seek you and we trust you to show, to prepare our partners for us. And I pray that all of us, God, will become the right partners first, Lord. That we will not seek our satisfaction or our worth in a person, but we will seek it in you, God. That we will be that person, Lord, before we want to seek it in someone else, Lord. That we will put our trust in you and not in man, Lord. God, thank you that you've given us marriage, Lord, to represent Christ and the church. That you've given us wives, Lord, to be prepared. And that you will come for us, Lord. And Father, thank you that we can be part of the body of Christ, Lord. That we can be part of this bride, Lord. Knowing that you are preparing us, Lord, for the end times, Lord. In Jesus' name. God, thank you that if one member suffers, all of us suffer, Lord. But Lord, we pray that you bring us together as one, as married couples, as one, Lord, in Jesus' name. Because we are family. Let's eat. God, thank you that your covenant was sealed by your own blood, Lord. That you were the sacrifice given to us on the cross. And it was your blood that flowed, Lord God, to seal this covenant. That you've given us your Holy Spirit as the seal of this covenant, Lord. That you've given us the scriptures, Lord, as the condition of this covenant, Lord. Of this new covenant. That we can know there's life for us because we are your children. We are heirs of Abraham, Lord, and co-heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ of your inheritance. Let's drink. Now, I think we're going to, I'm just going to leave it there. If you need prayer, maybe you need healing, we want to pray with you. If you just taking strain in that area, I really want to encourage you guys in the cell groups to start talking about it, to pray with it. I don't think it's just like a prayer that you come forward and we lay hands on you and you fall over and now you heal. I really believe there's a restoration of the way we think and how we approach life, that we can allow God to restore the ways we think, and that we can be examples, and that we can really trust God for that testimony of Jesus in our lives, that the world can know that we are His disciples because of the love that we have for one another. So if you want prayer, you're welcome to come forward. For the rest of you, come and have some coffee with us, and may God bless you. And every morning and evening we're going to have different services for the next month. We're really trusting God to do a work in our relationships, and we're trusting God to show us where He wants to take us. So may God bless you, and thank you for being here. And thank you for being here. Bye-bye.